Hi there, this is Darren Spoo, pastor at First Baptist Church in Tulsa, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. We would invite you to join us in person Sunday morning at 8:30 and 11 o'clock in downtown Tulsa, or check out our webpage at tulsafbc.org. God bless you, and have a great week. Recently, the inventor of the Post-it note died. Now, this sounds like the beginning of a really bad joke, but I promise you it is not. His name was Spencer Silver, and in the 1960s, he was working at 3M Corporation, and he was tasked with inventing a glue that would be able to hold airplane parts together. And he developed what he called a very elegant glue. It was heat-resistant, it was transparent, it didn't leave any residue behind, but the trouble was that this glue was too weak. It couldn't hold airplane parts together. The best it could do was to hold two pieces of paper together. So he set that glue aside, and what he said about it then, he said, "This is a solution that's waiting for a problem." I like that statement, and I'm going to give you the rest of the Post-it note story here at the end of the message, but just hang on to that statement for a moment. He invented a solution that was waiting for a problem. Now, that is just the opposite as to where most of us live. Most of us are inundated. We have an abundance of problems, and what we lack are solutions. So this summer, we are working through the Proverbs, and what I want to promise you is not that we're going to have all the solutions to all of our problems in the book of Proverbs, but what we will have is what Kenneth Boeth calls wisdom. He says it's skillful living. And can I tweak that phrase just a little bit? As I reflected on it, I thought that maybe wisdom would be better stated as savvy living, that we live with a sense of savvy, not that we'll have all the solutions, but we'll be able to walk our way through lives if we listen to God's wisdom and if we heed God's direction. So today, we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 4, and this is one of my favorite proverbs, one of my favorite single lines, but I want to put it in the context of the larger passage. So this is Proverbs 4, starting in verse 20, and it starts by saying, "My son." So these are words from Solomon to his son, and probably Solomon received these words from his father, King David. He says, "My son, pay attention to my words. Listen closely to my sayings. Don't lose sight of them. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and they are health for one's whole body." Let me stop here for just a moment. We hear the advice from a father to a son. What our world desperately needs, and what our world has always needed, is masculinity, of that confidence and that strength of a man speaking to his children. I talk to so many people today, even who are adults, that missed having that father figure, and sometimes people struggle for the rest of their life not having that father to speak truth into their lives. So please don't think I'm sexist. Here's what I believe. I believe the world needs biblical, godly masculinity. The world doesn't need any more machismo. That is the knockoff of masculinity. In other words, the world doesn't need any more alpha males, and the alphas are the people who step on other people. What we need are authentic men. These are people who don't step on others. They walk with God. And so this is the words of a father, experienced father, speaking savvy into his son's life, and he says these words, and here is my favorite line from the Proverbs. "Guard your heart above all else, for it is the source of life." That's Proverbs 4:23. An older translation says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the source, it is the wellspring of life." So I want to take that one verse, and we're going to read more of the passage here in just a moment, but I want to take that one verse and unpack it for a moment because this is very important. When the Proverbs writer, when he says, "Guard your heart," what does he mean by that? So in our culture, the heart is a symbol of emotion, especially when it comes to love. You know, we give someone our heart or we have a broken heart, and we're talking about love. United Press released a story of a Taiwanese man. He was so in love with a young lady. Over the course of 2 years, he wrote her 700 love letters and mailed them all to her home. Well, it worked. She fell in love. But she fell in love with the postman who delivered those 700 letters. So it worked just not how he had anticipated. So she gave her heart, in his point of view, to the wrong person. So we use heart in terms of emotion, but the writer of Proverbs, it means so much more. And I want to give us a biblical understanding when the Bible uses the word heart. It's the summation, the entirety of your internal life. Okay, so just the book of Proverbs uses the word heart 100 times. 40 of those times it applies to our thought life, our decision making. 20 of those times it does apply to our emotions. 20 other of those times it refers to our will, and the rest of it that replies it is about behavior. Okay, so again, if you take all those together, a person's heart represents the entirety of their internal life, or what we might say, the core of who we are. So when my friend Don Henley sings about, we've got to get to the heart of the matter, what he's talking about there is really pretty biblical. We need to get to the core of the matter. So what do we do with our core? What do we do with the entirety of our internal life? We guard it. That's the verb used here. So you probably know this instinctively. There are two kinds of guards. There's a security guard and a prison guard. Security guards keep the wrong kind of people out, and prison guards keep the wrong kind of people in. So this is an imperfect metaphor, but I think that we need to guard our heart. In other words, there's some things we intentionally keep out, and there's some things we intentionally make sure that we hold on to. We keep trouble out of our heart, and we hold truth within our heart. And I just want you to think about this. I think most of us are too loose with our heart. For many of us, our heart's just a revolving door. We let anything in, and we might let some things out. Every time I have visited a prison to go see an inmate, to minister to them, because I'm a friend, to go see them, it's hard to get in, and it's hard to get out. Listen, I think we need to keep our heart under guard. Not to say we should lock it down entirely, but we should be more intentional and purposeful about what we let in and what we let out, okay? Guard your heart above all else. What we're talking about today is more important than success, it's more important than career, it's more important than productivity, it's more important than reputation, it's more important than your network. Above all of that, guard your heart. So this is going to be a silly example, but last Sunday, on the way home, I needed to swing by Home Depot. I needed some glue for a project. And so I just walk in, and I'm making my way to the paint area where they keep the glue. And as I walk past this lady, she catches my eye, and she goes, "I know you." And she's talking really loud, okay? So everyone else kind of stops, and she says it in a loud voice, "I know you." And, we do TV commercials here in the Tulsa metro area, so this happens occasionally. But she said, you're a dentist. And I said, "Yes, I am. I'm a dentist. Good to see you. Got to go." She said, no, wait, you're not a dentist. And I'm trying to walk away because she's talking loud. It's a little bit embarrassing. She goes, you're a pastor. You're the pastor of that church. And I just thought, that's a great name for a church. That church. Why don't we just rename First Baptist Tulsa? So people ask, what church you go to? You go, that church, you know. Great name for church. So she goes, you're that church. And I go, well, yes, I'm a pastor here in the area. Hi, my name's Darren. I talked to her. I tried to get her to quiet down a little bit because it was embarrassing. Then I said, well, you're always welcome to come to First Baptist downtown, you know, watch online, whatnot. She says, oh, no, I wouldn't go to your church. In my church, she said, we have the Holy Ghost, implying that our church doesn't, right? So there's a lot about that conversation, and it's a silly example, but how many of us have gotten upset because somebody forgot who we are, or they didn't know our name, or they confused us with somebody else, or they embarrassed us, or they made an accusation, kind of a left-handed compliment, you know, we've got the Holy Spirit, you don't, kind of thing. There are some things we just need to let go and not let into our hearts, okay? So that whole incident, I didn't put it in my heart. I put it in my sermon, but I didn't put it in my heart, right? Because there's some things there I just don't want to let in, and there's some things there that I just don't need to worry about and let go. Above all else, guard your heart. So here's what we're going to do in the next few minutes. We're going to answer two questions. Why do we guard our heart? And then how do we guard our heart? Okay. Now the why question is pretty simple, and it's in that verse. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the source of life. And the older translation here says it's the wellspring of life. And if you don't know what a wellspring, it's the source of water for a river. It's the headwaters of a river. It's where it bubbles up out of the ground. And what comes out of that flows downstream, and it really does dictate the contents of that entire river. So let's step into the river for a few minutes. It's the source of life. Let's see where that flows. So Proverbs 4:24 is where we were. Let's look at, Proverbs 4:23. 4:24 says this: don't let your mouth speak dishonestly. Don't let your lips talk deviously. Let your eyes look forward, fix your gaze straight ahead, carefully consider the path at your feet, and all your ways will be established. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Keep your feet away from evil. So if I'm reading this passage right, guard your heart above all else. It's the source of life. Do you see the other body parts involved here? It tells us that the source of these other things, the mouth, the eyes, and the feet. In other words, the heart is the source of our words, our thoughts, and our actions. So let's just take those one at a time. Because didn't Jesus teach that about the mouth? If you want to control the words that are coming out of your mouth, don't try to control the words that are coming out of your mouth. Control your heart. You know, guard your heart. Jesus said it's out of the overflow of the heart that the mouth speaks. This is something that's downriver from the heart. And if we want to change the words coming out of our mouth, why would we do that? Because it affects the way we speak. Our heart also affects the way that we think. It consistently amazes me that two people can encounter the same circumstance. One panics, and the other works the problem and sees it as an opportunity. I've told my kids this all the time. Whenever something bad happens, work the problem, don't become the problem. What's the difference? It's the same problem on the outside. It's the same circumstance. The difference is the heart that meets that circumstance. So if you want to change your way of thinking, if you want to change your outlook and your attitude on life, the best thing to do is to start with the heart. That's why it's downriver. So we have our mouth, we have our thoughts, we have our feet. If you want to change your direction in life, if you want to change your actions, and again, I've said a lot over the years, you want to be a thermostat, not a thermometer. What does a thermostat do? A thermostat regulates the temperature of the room. A thermometer just reacts to the temperature of the room. Many of us spend our whole lives just reacting to whatever happens next. What about regulating? What about controlling ourselves when the world is out of control? If you want to become that kind of person, you need to walk back upriver to the heart. Why do we guard our heart? Because it's the source of everything else. Sam Van Auken, he's combined two very unusual disciplines. One is art, which is, I guess, is not unusual, and the other is being an arborist. So he's combined these two things, okay? What he found a few years ago was an orchard that had pretty much gone out of business, so he decided to create a tree that would be a work of art, and he took a fruit tree, and what he began to do is he began to integrate different bits of fruit trees onto this one tree. He would begin to splice together. He began to cultivate one tree. On this tree, he integrated apricots, cherries, peaches, plums, almonds. He spliced in all of these different kinds of fruits on this one tree. I would encourage you, go online and just research the tree of 40 fruit. Just Google it, tree of 40 fruit, and it'll pop up. When you first see it, it looks like a painting, but it's not a painting. It's a tree, and if you see it in full bloom, it has all these different colors because he spliced in all these different fruit trees. Now just take that picture for a moment. It's one tree. It has one root system. That root system is unseen, but it is essential because from that one root system, the source of everything else, the source of nutrients. All the other fruit that have been grafted in comes from that one root. That's a great picture of exactly what we're talking about today. The heart, the entirety of the unseen self, we want to guard it because from that root system, it's unseen, but it's essential, from that flows all the fruit of our lives, our words, our thoughts, our actions. All of those things are grafted into the one heart that we have. So that's why. Why do we guard our heart? Because it is the source of life. From it flows everything else. Now, an equally important question is, how do we guard our hearts? And so I want to take the same passage and look at it from a different angle because these things of words and thoughts and actions, they're the results of guarding our heart. Could I also say that it's the recipe for guarding our heart? These things not only are the result of us guarding our heart, but they can be the resources for guarding our hearts. So just think about your words for just a moment. If you go through your life saying, I'm a loser, I'm a nobody, nobody loves me, it's kind of a feedback loop, isn't it? Because what you're doing is you're feeding your heart in that. And so how do you guard your heart? Be careful about the words that you're saying to yourself and about yourself. And let's pan out there just a little bit. Think about the way you talk about others. If you're always talking about other people negatively or in a gossip or a rumor way, your heart will become more jaded. Your heart will become negative. Your heart will be hurt by the words that you're using for others. So here's what I believe. I believe that any word's highest aspiration is to be used in worship. We are meant to use our words. Doesn't the New Testament talk about this? It says, out of our heart, you can't have fresh water and salt water flow out of the same heart. You know, one nourishes and one doesn't. You can't talk negatively about other people and worship God. And so words' highest use is worship. And when we gather together for worship, and I'm going to encourage you, even if you have not returned for in-person worship yet, let me encourage you, it's time. We need in-person worship. We need to say positive words to God to influence our heart. That's the highest use of words. And so our words can be a resource on how to guard our hearts. So can our thoughts. This is baffling to me. We all try to control our thinking. How is it that something negative can pop to mind and we think about it all day and it just sticks with us? But we try to think about something positive. We try to think about God, right? And it's tough to concentrate on the goodness of God. Why is that? Because we've trained our minds to be negative. We've been in this rut for so long that we're looking for problems. We're looking for something to worry about, that's just the easy path. And so this is not easy, but to retrain our thinking to say, every thought I have, I'm going to take it to God. And just as words, the highest form of words is worship, the highest form of thought is prayer. To take every thought captive to Christ, to take everything that we think about it and put it before God. So our thoughts not only are the results of guarding our heart, it's a recipe for guarding our heart. It's not only the why, it's the how. Words, thoughts, actions. I don't have the gift of prophecy, but I know probabilities. And chances are somebody today, right now, is listening to this, and you are considering doing something that you know to be absolutely wrong. You know, the biggest regrets I have in life is not when I faced a decision and I didn't know what to do, so I took my best guess. Those are not my biggest regrets. My biggest regrets is when I faced a decision, I knew what was wrong and I did it anyway. Because something in my heart died at that moment. Listen, don't deaden your heart. You know, one of the things in the Old Testament, it talks about God taking our heart of stone and giving us a heart of flesh. By doing what we know is right, even if it comes with a cost, it's a way of guarding our heart. It's how we guard our heart so that we can look ourselves and our hearts in the mirror. So let me come back to the Post-it notes. Spencer Silver had this glue, didn't know what to do with it. He had a coworker named Arthur Fry. And actually, Arthur Fry was in the choir loft at his church during a choir rehearsal. And he had several different pieces of music, and he had little slips of paper to bookmark, and they were falling out as a mess. He said, "Wouldn't it be great to have a sticky bookmark?" Eureka moment. And he thought about his friend, Spencer Silver, and he thought about his glue, and the Post-it note was created. It was a eureka moment. You know, I talk to a lot of people, and I talk to a lot of Christians in particular, who are waiting for a eureka moment, that they're going to get serious about God, they're going to get serious about life, they're going to start living more intentionally, and they're waiting for this eureka moment. They're waiting for this big thing to happen, to send that spark, and when that happens, everything will change. Can I tell you this? The eureka moment already happened. Jesus said this because he was living among a people in his day. They were still waiting for a sign. He said, "No sign will be given to you except the sign of Jonah." What does he mean by that? Well, Jonah was an Old Testament prophet. And remember, he tried to run from God's purposes, but a fish came, gobbled him up, brought him over to Nineveh, spit him out, right? And it's a picture of resurrection. Jesus said, "No sign will be given to this generation except the sign of Jonah." Jesus was talking about his own death, being swallowed up in the earth, and being resurrected. The sign that you're looking for is not something that may happen 2 days, 2 weeks, or 2 months, or 2 years from now. It happened 2,000 years ago when Jesus walked out of the grave. That's the sign that it's time. Jesus also said in that same passage, he said, you know what? When Solomon was alive, he had so much savvy that there was even an Ethiopian queen, a queen from the south, queen from Africa. She came and she sought out Solomon for his wisdom. And he said, "Somebody better than Solomon is right here in front of you." He was talking about himself. So here's what I believe to be the best way to guard our heart. That is to give our heart. You know, I have this little thing called a safe deposit box. That there are some things I need to guard that the bank can do better than any place I have in my home. So I give those things to the bank, and they're held in a safe place. The best way to guard your heart is to give your heart to somebody you can trust no matter what. And if you're waiting for this eureka moment, it's already happened. Jesus Christ died for your sins. He rose from the grave. He now lives eternally. And he invites you to give your heart to him. He will guard it. And him guarding your heart will be the source of life and the source of eternal life. Don't wait for a sign. It is true today. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the source of life. Lord Jesus Christ, I pray for all of us that we would be really savvy on why we guard our heart. There's so much downriver that's affected by it. And how to guard our heart. We've given a lot of resources to guard our heart, but the main thing to guard our heart is to give our heart to you, to trust our heart to you no matter what. I pray for every person who hears this message that we would give you the center, the core of who we are forever, because you deserve us and we need you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you, and may God grant you peace, now and forever. Amen.
Thanks so much for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of each worship service on Sunday morning, I offer a simple blessing, and I offer that blessing to you today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you, and may God grant you peace, both now and forever. Amen.